Good afternoon. It is February the 28th, 2016, this dread, horrible year thus far. I know. There's good stuff, too. I got to go see Gatorland, and that was cool. Anyways, moving on. I think it's fair to say that I probably shouldn't be podcasting today, mainly because I had to fly today. And so you know, just as a corrective, rejoining kind of boilerplate statement, one of my recent podcasts, I lament that I doubt I shall ever fly again on an airplane. And I actually did specify, unless my job required it or somebody held a gun to my head. And so in this case, my job required it. I didn't really want to go. I had to go to Orlando, and I don't like Orlando. I've never been to Disney. I don't get the whole Disney thing. I have people in my family and in my immediate circle who have been suckered into the whole fucking Disney thing. I know people like to think the Disney thing is sort of equivalent to, I don't know. I know there's some people who think Disney is like equivalent to something like a hobby or like, you know, an ordinary pastime. Or I think there's some people who think of Disney and even just their film genre and their media genre like, oh, like a person would be a Trekkie because they like Star Trek. And let's be blunt, the whole going off the deep end Trekkie thing is a bit of a fucking loonish thing too when you think about it. I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, and I know people like Comic-Cons and shit. I get that, but what the fuck? We all need to fucking zone in on what's important. So no, I had to go to Orlando. I flew to Orlando on Thursday, and I flew back from Orlando today. And, you know, I can't say it was a wasted trip. We had to go for work. It was important. It was critical. You know, one of the things you've noticed in my podcast is I've been really angry. And so if I podcast on the day that I flew on, you'd expect me to be really angry. And I am kind of angry, but, you know, I've really thought about my anger. And it's one of those things I never really did a good job of explaining to my ex-wife, and I'm not even sure it would have mattered anyways. But I think mostly my anger masked this general discernment. And I could be wrong. I don't think I am, but I could be wrong. This general discernment I've had probably since I was 20 years old, if I'm being honest, that I was living in a time not unlike the time that, for example, St. Augustine lived in. You know, St. Augustine lived in a time when the Western Roman Empire was beginning to fall apart and actually had really just decayed to the point that it was simply going to be just tipped over. And so he lived in a time of decay in the Western Roman Empire, and to some extent the Eastern Empire as well, because by that time the Roman Empire had been split into two halves. And I remember reading the Confessions of St. Augustine, and I think I was at a debate tournament, and I think it was 1989. And I was sitting by this reflecting pool, and I was reading the Confessions of St. Augustine, and I was reading about some of his remembrances of what he remembered, and it seemed quite fondly, about the stability of the Roman system. Because you have to understand, when St. Augustine really became a true cleric or a true religious figure, when he really became a true member of the clergy and rose in the ranks and became a bishop, the Bishop of Hippo, he rose in the ranks during a time that the Western Roman Empire had just completely been obliterated by the multiple invading barbarian kind of tribes, roving tribes from the steppes of Russia and other places. Ostrogoths, Visigoths, Huns, you name it. I mean, I'm not exactly in that order. And oh, by the way, my specialty wasn't ancient or medieval history, so fuck you. But yeah, St. Augustine lived in a tough time because he was living in a time where the paradigm of the Roman Empire that had existed, frankly, at that point in its kind of current cultural state, certainly since the fall of the Republic, and in a deeper cultural sense, since, you know, the fall of the Tarquins, which means for about 1,000 years, the Western Roman Empire more or less functioned. and then it fell. And St. Augustine was a child before it fell. He experienced it as a young adult and then as an adult. So ultimately, I think that St. Augustine is one of those figures that I kind of understood. It was like the way he explained the world is the way I would. It's like, it's not like he was resigned to reality, but he kind of pragmatically accepted it. At least that's how I remembered reading the Confessions. I mean, he didn't really lament too much the Roman Empire, but by the same token, he was honest in saying that he missed certain features of it, certain features of Roman society. And in truth, I think the Catholic Church, which is really the Western Catholic Church, which ultimately means the Church of St. Augustine, was essentially the zombie that rose from essentially the dead corpse of the Roman Empire. So when people look at the Catholic Church today, they really should see it as the zombie version of the Western Roman Empire. And I know that sounds really sad and scary, and like, oh, you hate Catholics. Well, I was raised Catholic. So if you're offended by this, you must note that I believe every person has a right to an opinion about their relationship with God, because I believe Jesus specified that. I actually think that Jesus specified, and I think it's in Matthew, that when two or more people are gathered in his name, there's a church. And you know what? I hate to break it to you folks, and I hate to go way off tangent, but we're beginning to enter those times again, where it's entirely plausible that, yeah, some type of authentic Christianity might be so under attack, especially when you have like the Pope saying, well, you know, even atheists can go to heaven. I mean, I've come to the realization that in all likelihood, I don't think you can be an atheist and go to heaven. Not because I think that you're bad if you're an atheist. I think it's because you've made a bad choice. You know, I used to be an atheist, and I don't want to go into that in too great a depth because it's a very complicated issue to me even today. Anyways, I don't hate Catholics. I don't hate Catholic people. I don't hate the Catholic Church per se, but I do think it's a kind of warped institution. And historically, we should be honest. In many ways, it is like a kind of zombie version of the Western Roman Empire, with its own version of Caesar, which is the Pope. And ultimately, the cardinals, in many ways, represented the Senate. So to some extent, what you have in the Catholic Church is the zombie version of the Western Roman Empire, with some other version, some selected version, a la the Council of Nicaea, an edited version of Christianity to go with it. So they had the doctrine and what was left of the Western Roman Empire to protect it. Anyways, I'm going way off tangent, but my point is, since September, I've had a general sense that things are starting to kind of fall apart. I don't think it's the end of the world. I do think it could be the end of this current paradigm, and for a lot of people, that's going to be really scary. I think it could probably break them in two. For some people, it won't be too scary. A lot of people will simply just go through it. They'll muddle through it the way they muddle through everything, without a lot of thought and the minimal amount of hard work to survive. And you know what? That's fine too. I love when I hear the alarms go off, because it kind of makes me think about some of the things I'm saying, like, holy shit. Anyways, I just wanted to talk about that because ultimately I don't think the world's coming to an end, and I'm not really angry and hateful, but you know, I do have a general anxiety about this current situation we're in, and I'm kind of disappointed in the human race right now. I think we're making some really stupid choices. I think that basically the neocon, warmongering, you know, this fucking picking fights with the Russians and the Chinese bullshit is really fucking stupid. It is really quite scary. And I think people are idiots. They don't realize this could lead to World War III. And I remember a family member remarking to me in 2014, 2 years ago, when I tried to organize a protest against the mounting belligerency we were having towards Russia, and specifically the CIA-sponsored coup in the Ukraine. I got 5 people to show up to give a shit. And my sister said, well, that's because the war with Russia hadn't started yet. And I just wanted to like fucking throttle, you know, my family member and say, listen, wake the fuck up. If we go to war with Russia, there's a fairly high likelihood it becomes nuclear very fast. And if you think there's going to be a lot of protests during the fallout phase, you are a fucking moron. Anyways, but family is family, and I, you know, got to love them all. So I went to Orlando for a business-related thing. And once again, I got groped both ways. I don't know why they keep groping me. Going through the Orlando airport, the Orlando airport, I actually got a little picture of what they were seeing. And he said, do you have anything there? And I said, well, I have a leg there. And, you know, I have pants there. But I don't really have anything there. And it looked like there was some metallic grid inside of my knee, and I was like, what the fuck are you showing me? And so either I have some alien implant, because I've never had surgery, never, ever, ever. I've broken my wrist once, and that is it. I've never spent a night, you know, in a hospital because of an injury, period. Anyways, so they grope me. They put me aside once I stand in the machine that spins around, you know, with the little yellow footprints. Once you go off the yellow brick road, the woman says, you need to stand aside, sir, because fuck you, and okay, fuck you. And then she brings over the douche who looks like he might actually, and listen, I'm not homophobic, but I think they might actually select for gay guys, because I have been groped almost pretty much every fucking trip. And that is why I won't pay to fly ever fucking again in all likelihood. I'll probably go if they put a gun to my head, and I'll probably go if I have to keep my fucking job. But if other than that, I won't touch a fucking airport. Anyways, going through TSA today was horrific. I always hate it. And I made this joke about, you know, this is what I think about when I think about my dad volunteering at 17 to fight the fascists in the Second World War. This is what I think about. I think about the fact that he was trying to prevent America from looking like a two-bit, douchey, fascist, scumbag country. So going through TSA just really horrifies me. It pretty much makes me feel like the Nazis won the war, you know, in some really douchey form. Because at this point, you know, people say, oh, well, Trump is acting like Hitler or something. Jesus fucking Christ. Wake the fuck up, America. We've been acting like the Nazis a lot longer than that. A lot longer than that. If anything, we've had kind of a coming out party in the last two decades. But no, we've been douchey and we practice scumbaggery. And my God, you know, wake the fuck up. Anyways, I made this comment, you know, true fact. My dad volunteered at 17, which required his parents to sign to fight the fascists in World War II. And, you know, he didn't win any medals or anything, but the fact that he volunteered to do that, to join the Navy and do that, I think is a big fucking deal. I think it's something that's laudable. And I don't think he did it so that we can all be treated like scumbags by a bunch of people who think they're fucking entitled to wear a shitty fucking uniform and act like fucking assholes. I really don't think that's why he volunteered to serve. That's not why I wore the uniform. I didn't wear the uniform so Americans in America would be treated like scumbags. I wore the uniform so that scumbags would never get the fuck here. So that maybe we would protect the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And you know what? I was a fucking naive idiot. I look back and I don't regret having served my country, but my God, I regret how stupid I was about the appropriate way to serve. Because joining the military in the 90s, and frankly ever since, pretty much amounts to joining a fucking kind of mercenary for hire organization that enforces the US dollar, enforces a lot of fucking corruption, and basically isn't about, you know, freedom and dignity and shit. And frankly, when you add to that a lot of the really obvious false flag bullshit that's gone on since 9/11, even if everything around 9/11 was completely legit, which frankly, I just don't think it was. But there's been all kinds of crap since then. Anyways, yeah, so I make this joke, and this woman in front of me, this beautiful woman, I think that she was probably 30 years old. She was kind of on the skinny side. I mean, skinnier than I generally like, but whatever. She turns and smiles at me, and she says, you know, you're 100% right. This is kind of terrible. And it's like she used the word in the appropriate way. The TSA and what we have to do, what we have to put up with, because we think it's actually making us safer. And listen, guys, it's not. But because we think it's actually making us safer, we put up with it. And that is terrible. That is terrifying. That isn't terrific. That isn't wonderful. That is horrific. That is horrifying. Anyways, I was with a partner a colleague from my place of business where I work on this trip to Orlando. And I'm saying Orlando because I think that's how it should be pronounced. And we did a lot of driving around between, you know, the different meetings and classes we had. And we actually got a chance to see a few things. And we actually ended up, you know, going to a few places that you would have thought would have been really, really packed and impossible to get into this time of year. Because, listen, it used to be the case, a lot of people, especially like people from Indiana, would go to some place like Florida in the wintertime for vacation. And also people from Europe. But here's the thing, you know, if you have a strong dollar vis-a-vis a cratering euro, you're not going to get those European visitors, or not as many. It simply will be too expensive. Anyways, we noticed a lot of empty parking lots. It was actually kind of sad. It was actually kind of sad how empty and how dejected and how broken Orlando looked. It didn't look like a living thing. And we drove around some more. We actually went to Cocoa Beach, and I, you know, it was cool to see the Atlantic and to step into it. I had never stepped into the Atlantic, to my knowledge. So it was nice to step my feet into the Atlantic and taunt the ghosts of Jaws 1 and 2. And actually, it was kind of beautiful. It was wonderful. It was a beautiful day. But really, going around those areas, it was kind of scary because it looked empty. And then we went through Cocoa Beach proper, and it's like just on the main strip. I spotted like 3 or 4 or 5 strip clubs, and I was thinking to myself, and I turned to my colleague and I said, can you believe this? I mean, does this make sense? You would think that if families were visiting, if it was all about families, they wouldn't have as many strip clubs. You would think that. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you would think, right? I don't think strip clubs are generally things that people, you know, families that take their kids to. I don't think you can legally, and I just think that would be ridiculous. Anyways, Cocoa Beach looked quaint, but it also looked kind of dejected, kind of on the verge of having some serious fucking issues. And we also went to Gatorland. And listen, I don't know why we went to Gatorland. I think it's because I pleaded with my colleague. I said, listen, dude, I don't think I'd ever really seen an alligator in a kind of semi-natural habitat up close. Like, I've probably been to zoos and seen alligators and little fucking concrete cages, which are totally fucking depressing. But I've never actually seen a gator in an environment that is probably as close as humans are capable of getting to that would be relatively humane, despite all the outlandish little antics of the redneck theater that goes on with these gators, because they have this redneck gator theater they put on. And I think it involves taunting the gators. They would probably say they've trained the gators. I don't think you can train a gator. But we went to Gatorland, and they had more than just gators. They had crocodiles as well. They had tons of egrets. They had lots of cranes. They had a lot of vultures, I think. I think there were vultures. And actually, that kind of makes sense. If you have a lot of alligators around a lot of fish and small mammals and, you know, birds, you'd probably expect a lot of vultures. That makes a lot of sense. So Gatorland was kind of cool, you know. It was kind of cool. I'm glad I went. And then the only thing I would remark about my trip to Orlando was I had a bro dick, a leg spreading bro dick, an ass hat fucker leg spreading bro dick on my left hand side on the way back. And he basically was one of these dudes who thought he owned his fucking seating area and at least a third of mine. He would kick my foot. I would be fucking in this fucking tight ass, constricted, probably bad for my heart, fucking constricted fucking situation so I could fit into this fucking chair designed, I think, mostly for midgets or little people or whatever the appropriate terminology is. Anyway, anywho, he was basically, you know, sticking his knees and his legs into my area without regard. I kind of looked at him and he just ignored me. He was a total fucking bro dick. He was, you know, he wasn't, you know, I'm not gay myself, but if I were gay, I would say he was good looking enough, so whatever. I think he must have been around 30 years old, but he was an asshole. He was a leg spreading ass hat fucker bro dick asshole. Another reason why I will not pay to fly again. Because even though they cram us into these shitty little seats, and even though they give us these crappy options, and even though these fucking airlines will have the gall to use words like choice in their commercials, like, we're so glad you chose to fly Delta. Delta, I'll let you in a little fucking secret. I don't choose to fly you. I fly you because the airline industry is an oligopoly. Okay? That's reality. And oligopolies don't give a shit what I fucking care about. They're only slightly less douchey than monopolies. Fucking, we're so glad you chose to fly with us. That when you leave the fucking plane, it's like, thank you, come again. You know, like fucking, thank you know, have a great trip. Thank you so much for being here. We're so happy you were here. You know, that's a load of horse shit too. But anyways, you know, I part of me says, Dan, you know what? You should stop because this is the rant of all rants in a lot of ways. But I'm not going to stop because I got one more topic. And in some ways, this is the main topic. Although I had to talk about Orlando, spelled H, excuse me. Orlando is spelled WHORE with a hyphen. Lando, like as in Lando Calrissian. Or LANDO, or Lima Alpha November Delta. Oh, what's O? Military. I used to know my phonetics. Oscar. Yep. Lima Alpha November Delta Oscar. Anyways, my trip to Orlando. We talked about that, but the main topic is actually different because I had to sit in the fucking airport in Atlanta, and they had fucking CNN bullshit on every fucking speaker. So I was being propagandized, and you know, guys, wake the fuck up. If it was Fox News, I'd be just as pissed off. I don't want to have the fucking propaganda in my ears. I know it's bullshit. I know what's on the fucking CNN is bullshit. I know what's on Fox News is bullshit. Don't be a fucking moron. If you want to be a moron, fine, be a moron. But don't be one. Wake the fuck up. Anywho, I was sitting in the airport being offended by my personal space being totally obliterated by this fucking CNN on the fucking speakers. And they were talking about Trump and, oh, Trump is making this so complicated. And what if Trump wins more delegates, but there's a brokered convention, blah, 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 bullshit, making it sound like people have a fucking choice. I will tell you, I think Trump is a total fucking bullshit stalking horse. I don't think he's one bit real. Trump is not real. Trump is make believe. If you do not think Donald Trump is make believe, you are a fucking idiot. He is a made-up man. He has a made-up view of the world. It is a cartoon view of the world that actually doesn't match much of anything. He claims to be this great fucking businessman, but let's be honest, okay? He's gone bankrupt many times, so he's lost many businesses. And yes, he's started new ones and he's made a lot of money. But I just got to be blunt. I don't think he made his money the right way. I think he made it probably through a lot of crony fucking deals. We'll get to that later. But anyways, whether Trump is real or fake or whatever, he's in the race, he's competing, and these CNN, this talking heads on CNN, they were talking about this whole, like, you know, everyone's moving, has moved to the center. Everyone became moderate after the end of the Cold War. And like, what the fuck do you mean the center? What the fuck do you mean moderate? You pick where moderate is. You tell us that turning dead babies into, you know, research material and selling that material is okay. That when Planned Parenthood takes aborted fetuses and sells them, that's A-okay. And you would call that fucking moderate. You would call that the center, centrist. What the fuck? So I don't think Trump, you know, I don't think talking about Trump, whether he's a moderate or a conservative or a liberal, whether he's left or right, these words have become so meaningless in America. It's just part of the same noise machine that tries to convince people to have a fucking choice. And it's really sad because, yes, one of the reasons why I get despondent is because I think if people woke up, they could make the right choice. I mean, I honestly don't know if an America that was run by libertarians would be infinitely better than what we have. But I'm willing to bet it would be better than what we have, and I'm willing to bet it'd be significantly better than what we have. But people are either Pepsi or Coke. People are either Burger King or McDonald's. It's like the whole system is ridiculous. It's become a giant farce, and people love the farce. They love, you know, Kourtney Kardashian or whatever her name is. They love Kardashian's big butt and they love the farce of our current political system. Both of which are make-believe. And so they were talking about, you know, whether he's moderate or not on the issue of illegals. So here's the thing about the illegals thing. You know, people are like pointing at Trump and saying, oh, Trump, he'll build the wall. And Trump is going to fight against illegals. Listen, you guys need to do some research. You know, forget what I say. Forget what Trump says. I mean, I can't believe you're so easily swayed. And I can't believe you're such fucking morons. I can't believe you don't recall that Trump actually thought Hillary Clinton was a good Secretary of State. Okay? So let's just get fucking real. This guy used to call himself a Democrat. Okay? If you asked yourself, what proportion of workers, either constructing his casinos or working in his casinos, were illegal aliens? Do you believe it would be a small proportion, a small percentage, or do you think there's a fairly good chance it would be a high proportion? And I'm not saying that Trump doesn't have the best organized crime goons to help him fake fucking IDs. I am totally convinced Trump's got the best organized crime goons and the best lawyers to protect his little illegals and to make us and to convince us that they're not. But here's the honest truth. Trump is not going to stop illegal immigration. He isn't. Okay? If you believe he is, I really feel sorry for you. But I can't do anything to help you. But he's not going to stop illegal immigration. He's not going to put an end to it. His businesses would suffer. That's the actual truth. And here's the other little truth, too, that Trump knows. And that anybody who believes that this issue is a weakness for Trump is a complete idiot. Because from a tactical perspective, Trump is claiming to be really hard on illegals right now. But the truth is, all these illegals that currently work for him, and I hate to say it, are probably likely voters given how corrupt our system is. Oh my God. This weekend totally brain damaged me. But given how corrupt our system is, yeah. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Trump. He's not going to stop illegals. The illegals know this. They're probably going to vote for him. And that means that he's going to get the Hispanic vote. People don't realize this. Donald Trump would win the Hispanic vote. I hate to break it to you guys, but he's speaking a language that you do not fucking understand. You know, I don't believe one word Trump is saying, but I must be honest with you. There are some things he's saying with respect to immigration that I agree with. I don't agree with his stand on, you know, foreign policy. And I think, frankly, he loves the police state, although probably for reasons that involve more cronyism than anything else. But no, the stuff he said on immigration, I agree with. But to me, it's like talk is talk and walk the walk. If you look at his actual history, if you were to investigate his companies, I honestly believe you would find a lot of illegals working there. And you would probably find a paper trail that would point to Trump saying at some point in the last 10 or 20 or 30 years, Trump saying, you know what, guys, I don't give a fuck. Anyways, I don't trust him on taxation. I think he's probably a big fan of the Ways and Means Committee. I think he's probably a big fan of local giveaways and you know, state and county and city schemes for helping him build his casinos. I don't trust him on taxation. I don't trust him on fair share. I think he's a fucking liar. I think if you looked into how he built casinos, you'd probably find that he got a lot of concessions, which means he got a lot of welfare. So I think he's corrupt. And here's the other thing, too. There is no way, and I'm sorry, this isn't just because I've watched movies. Let's get real, folks. There's no way you could build casinos the way he's built them without being connected on some level to organized crime. If you actually believe that he has no connections to organized crime, ugh. I mean, I want to say ugh because he's been in not just construction, but casino construction. That's almost like the double dip of organized crime. Three shows and three no-shows. Yeah, anyways, I watched The Sopranos. Ultimately, yeah, the last thing I'll say about Trump to close this off is that, well, no, not the last thing. The last two things is, one, his foreign policy is a neocon policy. I think he wants us to believe it's not as neocon as a Bush or an Obama, that he isn't just going to have a drone policy to murder people. But honestly, he's been kind of cagey on the foreign policy issue. I think if he made it to the debates, he'd probably end up doing what Romney did in 2008. He'd probably look over the direction of whoever his opponent was, and it's going to be Hillary Clinton, and they'll just sort of nod. They'll just nod at each other because the neocons control both parties. The neocons control the entire deep state. What the fuck do people think they're doing when they vote? And finally, to close this out with the number two issue. And number two issue means that on multiple levels, as in number one means pee and number two means something else, means poo. I think Trump totally supports the DHS, the TSA, the fucking NSA reading our emails and reading our text messages. I think Trump would totally support cracking open everybody's smartphone and making encryption illegal. I think Trump ultimately would support all of the financial repression. And even though he's kind of, you know, been on the opposite side of the Federal Reserve during his campaign, I just don't see him as a guy who's going to support, you know, a rational monetary policy. Anywho, this is a lot of prognosticating and discussionating, conversing, prognosing, exposing to do. I don't know what the official count is. Yep, we're at a half an hour. And a half an hour is a long time. Peace.